Isn't Jesus being a bigot? He assumes that blindness is something bad. But this man's blindness is part of who he is. It's not a disorder, it's an identity. Just because other people can't see, it doesn't mean that not seeing, that being blind, is something unnatural or wrong. Isn't it judgmental to say otherwise? But Jesus does heal this man, and he does it in a rather strange way, using spit and dirt to make clay and smear it on his eyes. It seems a bit unhygienic, especially since Jesus did plenty of other miracles with no spit involved. Why do it this way? Because Jesus is not just a miracle man or a prophet. He is also Lord and Creator, something the man born blind eventually recognizes and proclaims. In the Jewish tradition, understanding Genesis, God uses spittle to turn the dust into clay to form Adam at the beginning of creation. So by doing it this way, Jesus is basically saying that this man wasn't fully formed. He needed a touch more divine spit and dirt to make him complete, to make his eyes work. Jesus is recreating this man to give him something that he is missing. The disciples and the Pharisees both assume that the man is blind because of a sin. They are close to the truth, but they miss it. This man is not blind because of his own personal sin or because of some personal sin of his parents. He is blind because of original sin. When God created Adam and Eve, they were fully formed and lacked nothing. They were not blind. They did not have to suffer. But when they sinned, all of creation fell, and they lost some of the beautiful craftsmanship of the divine sculptor. This man's blindness is a sign of all of humankind's fallenness, a sign of the darkness that we are all born into. This odd moment of spit and dirt and washing is a sign of baptism. Notice especially that he must wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So not only is this man recreated by Jesus' own touch, he is washed by water whose very name tells us that we are sent. Baptism recreates us as children of God and co-missions us. It sends us as witnesses to Jesus Christ. It does not just give us what original sin took away. It establishes our identity. But so often, we much rather put our identity somewhere else. Our sexual desires, our height, our weight, our skill in sports or business, our faults and failings and weaknesses. Worst of all, we tend to let our sin become our identity, become who we are. But the message of Jesus Christ, the mystical signs we see in the gospel right here, tells us that our only identity is a child of God, that everything else comes after that. We have these things, but we are not them. To say that I am my sin, I am my desire, I am what I do, that is to be blind, to live in darkness. Sadly, however, what we choose to do will begin to shape who we are. If we insist on choosing to act like we are those things, we will become them. And eventually, we can forfeit the identity and the inheritance that God gives his children in Jesus Christ. No, the good news is that Jesus Christ refashions us in baptism and every time we go to confession. He washes us clean, anoints us as kings to reign with him. He opens our eyes to see God and see ourselves as we really are. And then we can act like that. But what if the blind man didn't want to be able to see? He knows that human beings aren't supposed to be blind, but being blind meant no one expected him to work. All those years, other people provided him out of the alms that the Jewish law required them to give. The very moment that this man gets his sight back, he will be expected to work. And then he is tossed into a massive controversy and accused of lying. Even his parents get dragged into the fight. Life was easier while blind. Why not stay that way? And the same is so often true with us. We've all had those moments when we were afraid that something was true. Because if it was true, we would have to change. We would have to act. We would have to suffer. It is a great gift that baptism and confession allow us to see what we really are. But learning to act like what we are, that is not easy. It takes work, especially if you are surrounded by people who insist on staying blind. St. Paul teaches us, you were once darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. But if you've ever been in a dark room and had someone suddenly switch the light on, you know what that transition can do. Our eyes, like our hearts, are used to the darkness, and the light will sting. But if you start living as a child of the light, if you try to learn what is pleasing in the Lord, then you will also have people who do not like the light that you are shining. The Pharisees are angry that this man can see again. They are actually mad about a real miracle. How dare he regain his sight and start having what we've always had? They are angry because if this miracle is true, well, then they have to accept that Jesus is something important. And they do not like what that means, because it means they were wrong. It means that they will not have the power that they like. It means change. On top of that, Paul tells us, take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. And fruitless works might sound abstract enough that it doesn't quite scare us. But those works are everywhere. Anything that leads us to sin, anything that just wastes time and energy, anything that encourages others in their sin. Think about how many of our relationships with other people are entirely based on television, sports, video games, gossip. If we start to shy away from some of these things because they're wasteful or because they fill us with temptation, those people who we connected with over these things will be offended. But a relationship that is based on sin or fruitless works of darkness must change or end. And often we are not willing to do that because it hurts us and it feels like it hurts others. And then you have the charity organizations dedicated to sterilizing the entire population of the third world. There are social justice groups who want us to defy nature itself. There are Christians who want us to reject what Christ himself taught. We cannot cooperate with these people and their fruitless works of darkness. We have to expose those works for the evil that they are. And they will cry out, "Why are you being so judgmental?" But we are not the ones making the judgment. We are simply following the light of the world. That light is named Jesus. And he says, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and that those who do see might become blind." They will not like that. They will persecute us as the Pharisees persecuted the man born blind and the apostles. But if what Jesus says is true, it shouldn't stop us. We are baptized and catechized, and we go to Mass. We really don't have an excuse to stay blind. And when Christ asks us, along with that blind man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" what will we say? If we say yes, then yes, we'll suffer and no persecution, but we will be able to see. We will see who we are as children of God, anointed as kings to reign with Christ. We will expose the lies of the world and of the devil, and we will see freedom, that we are not our sins, we are not our faults, we are not our weaknesses, that we are children of the light, and we can live that way. And then we can say with the psalmist, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." And what is it that fills that cup now brimming over? True and lasting joy.